Christ raises his own father, the fruit. He wept and pleaded with him. Hosea 12, verse 4b. When Jacob arrived at Jabbok, one thing was indeed the most gripping. For many years, Jacob had worked hard to eliminate a few minutes, and he had not succeeded. And one should realize that the man against whom he had begun the competition was his own brother, thus a being of the same nature as he. That brother indeed had an advantage of those few minutes, but in the end there was no gradual difference between a being and a fellow being of the same nature. Thus, take heed now to the extreme tension, on the other hand, of the nightly wrestling match at Peniel, that suddenly forced Jacob to fight with God in a night of almost utter darkness. With God, we said, for that angel came as bearer of divine strength to Jacob. And as such, he was also immediately recognized by Jacob. One would say, all is lost here. For between two brothers there can only be a gradual difference, but there is a fundamental difference between God and man. The two brothers, who had grown beside each other in the womb of their mother, were yet together on the earth. But to that combatant of that night the word applied, God is in heaven and you are on earth. Between the two brothers lay the gap, a distance of only a few minutes. But between that mysterious man and Jacob laid a gap, a distance as deep and great as infinity, the infinite qualitative difference between God and man. Did that God now turn himself against Jacob? In this battle there is no resistance, no weapon. That would be the sigh of all that is flesh. And yet, Jacob prevailed. For that is exactly what is so great. For he who, according to the order of the flesh and of nature and of what was before his eyes, sought and forged his weapons and made his calculations, was not able to work away a few minutes in no matter how many years. But he who completely ceased those kinds of attempts and no longer wanted to fight in and by the flesh, but entrusted himself only to the Word and his God, and fully and completely to what God's counsel had previously predicted, came to the surprising discovery that in a single moment the distance, which was as great as eternity, was bridged by the same man who in many years could not overcome a distance of only a few minutes. Now that this man finally allowed himself to sink to the bottom of that electing word which had promised him grace, he was not removed from all the ties of nature, for how could that have been possible, but suddenly saw the way to the promised blessing opened to him, within the ties of nature, by that word of grace which allows no one to boast except in the Lord. Thus the weapons by which Jacob won the battle were weeping and pleading. He who weeps has no more strength according to the flesh, and he who pleads will no longer keep any of his calculation pads in his hand, also according to the flesh. He gives himself up and has only a prayer left. I will not let thee go unless thou wilt bless me. Thus the plea for that blessing cried out by Jacob was a cry of second birth, by which the regenerated Jacob now also recognized and confessed himself as father, the conscious bearer of the pedigree, the possessor of the rightful inheritance, the father in good works, the father in the circle of faith of the covenant of grace. He became a man in the holy line, and was enabled to become the father of the Lord Christ Jesus, as bearer of the holy line, as him who continued the line of election in the holy pedigree. That cry is to us an evidence of the fact that here Christ effectively called his own father and qualified him to that fatherhood. For God was present here as the eternal Word and called the things, also the fathers, who were not as if they were. Thus the voice that says, here Jacob has become Israel, also seeks us, and only in this way is he known to his children. Not all that is called Israel is Israel. The same Christ who drove the two-edged sword of separation and judgment, not only between two children of one womb, and also caused it to cut into the marrow and bone of that one elected covenant child, to separate the flesh from the spirit, is still active to fulfill and administer in his covenant people the strict law of the house. He overpowers conceit and pride exactly in his own covenant child. He introduces covenant vengeance exactly in his own family. It is in the time of Peniel and later that judgment begins at the house of God. And he who desires no copy of Peniel does good. But he who besides this knows that the law of the house of Peniel should throughout all centuries accompany Israel does better. And he who in accordance to this knowledge also goes and does things and allows his flesh to be mutilated and circumcised, so that the spirit will triumph, does best. He boasts only in the Lord, and knows the meaning of these words, the degree of sovereign grace.